Well.
The one. You're supposed to hold. You're not supposed. You're supposed to say three, two.
Now let's just start the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
This is Battle at the Big Table. I am Pedro Third of my name. With me, as always, is the man who is like a brother to me, Mike Lee.
I'm Mike.
Hi.
I'm Mike Lee.
And I'm Daniel, his actual brother.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, only biologically.
Of course, that's why I'm on the podcast.
It's, you know, we believe here in...
Nepotism.
Nepotism.
All of the nepotism.
It's very important to us.
Define nepotism.
It's a sports drink you can only buy in Nepal.
Amazing.
Amazing.
That sounds like something that has guarana in it.
Yeah. So it's got a little ketamine, too.
Oh, my God.
They heard about the Coca-Cola, how it used to have cocaine, and they thought, well, let's put ketamine in our drink.
No, that's bad.
So what's on the agenda for today?
For today, so last podcast, me and Mike didn't have Onion on the podcast because of a conflict issue with scheduling.
By conflict, it was a fist fight.
Yeah. But, you know, I've forgiven Onion for fighting me. And
that is not.
I cried enough. But now, we got to talk last time about what our first video games were. So I think for today, we will talk. Onion will give his first video game experience. And we'll pretend it has nothing to do with my first video game experience. Well, we won't point out that they're the same. Actually, they are different. And then we will, since this podcast also is about tabletop games, we'll also talk about our first tabletop experiences.
All right. So, my first video game experience was when I was like 4 or 3 or something. And my parents forced my brother to let me play his console, which was a GameCube at the time. And
typical brother relationship.
So they were like, let him play a game.
And they actually forced me to have him on this podcast too. And
this will never end. So they sat me in his room, and then they left. And then my brother was like, okay, what do you want to play? And I went, that one, because I don't know what things are, and I don't care. I'm a child. So he put in a war game, and then the first 5 seconds of that war game, I grabbed a gun, I walked up to a guy, I pulled the trigger like 6 times, and he just stared at me like, why are you shooting your friend, you weirdo? What's wrong? And then I died, because, you know, you're shooting at your friends and the enemies over there, and they don't care. They don't care at all.
Medal of Honor Rising Sun.
Yeah, that game was awesome.
For the GameCube.
I do legitimately think that was my favorite Medal of Honor game, because the other ones kind of suck. But also because...
What do you mean? Medal of Honor Allied Assault was the pinnacle of Medal of Honor games.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was the one with the actual D-Day Assault.
Oh, yeah.
That's
interesting. It's the one I played, and it is one of my favorites, and it's still one of my favorite war games, because that story was too good. And then my brother kicked me out of his room, so I never got to play that.
Which is a lie, because he would break in and steal my stuff all the time. So
that is true.
This is the antagonism podcast.
We actually don't, like, fight in real life, but now that we're on the podcast, let's air our dirty laundry and get to real fights here.
Of course. The skeletons in the closet.
Man, I'm a big classic. But yeah, no, because of that, I now learned that I love video games, and I don't think I'll ever stop playing them.
What is your favorite video game?
Oh, God, no, don't ask that question. I don't know.
Right now.
Yeah. Right now? Currently? TF2 is a lot of fun. But the thing is, that because of the bots, I can't play casual anymore because they won't let me. They're just like, and heavy. Everyone's dead. And it's like, okay, that's not fun.
Why don't you just counterpick them?
Because there's 6 of them. And even if I counterpick them, the one I kill has 6 behind him, and he's fine. But yeah, so I play a lot of like computer games right now, and I'm playing Prey, mm-hmm. which Prey confuses the shit out of me morally.
What is it about Prey that's so confusing?
So the moral choice in the game is, so you're on this space station, and the space station's owned by a corporation, and it's building these neural mods, these neurological modifications.
They really want you to check out these eggs on this planet.
Close.
No, sorry, wrong story.
So they have all these neural mods that they made out of the basically leftover parts of these biological creatures called typhons, which are like these weird veiny creatures that can morph into anything or use telekinetic powers.
Mm-hmm. I feel if they were named Typhoid, that would be a much different story.
Yes, it would.
A little topical.
Yeah, very, very in the moment as we do this podcast in quarantine.
The Typhon are like an intelligent race of, you know, morphine creatures that can kill you really quickly and are very powerful. Mm-hmm. And they start attacking the station, and you have to either destroy the station to destroy them and not let them invade Earth, destroy the station, escape because you're an asshole and you want to protect Earth, destroy the station and not escape because you're not an asshole, but kill everyone or save as many people as you can, or do a null wave thing, which I have no idea what it does, because the way the video showed me how it ended was the thing dies, the typhon like entity dies and turns into just mush. Mm-hmm. But that's not how the grenade version of it works, so I don't understand what it does, and I don't know if it's good or evil, or if it's just you being a, like, you know, a capitalist not wanting to damage your thing.
So you're basically saying, just give me the Paragon or Renegade Path. I don't understand anything else.
Right? I want an obvious good, obviously evil, because the other options are you could kill everyone, you could save as many people and kill everyone, or you could just kill everyone and save yourself.
Isn't that so funny? Because isn't that like kind of what everyone always fought about in like the BioShock ending, mm-hmm. the endings like that, where it was always like, you destroyed the world, you saved everyone, or I don't know, you chose not to destroy the world or save anyone, and everyone was just kind of living a shitty life afterwards. Like,
Right. Those
are the three choices, mm-hmm. typically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, typically in like these morality systems, it's a sort of, are you gonna do unquestioningly good things, or are you gonna be just an absolute dipshit?
No, it's funny. I think Metro Exodus is my favorite right now.
Yeah.
Because I recently beat it, and I think it legitimately has a really good morality system.
Oh yeah.
I think the weakest part of Metro Exodus is the middle sand level. Because the middle sand level is just you're fighting a bunch of slavers, mm-hmm. and the game's like, don't kill everybody, and you're like, but they're slavers, the hell do I care about them? So you murder them anyways, and there's no negative. Mm-hmm. The only negative is if you kill any of the slaves or hurt anybody else. Mm-hmm. Killing all the slavers are killing slavers, who cares? But I think that's why it's such a decent morality system, because instead of it sitting there and going, oh man, you're such a bad person, it goes, your actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. If you kill slaves, one of your crewmates will leave, mm-hmm. and leave you out. If you don't help him do a thing, he will leave. Mm-hmm. If you don't complete all the side quests, he will leave, you know? And in different areas, that's different for different people. Mm-hmm. Though I do think that sometimes they rush, like, certain plot line. Like, there's this forest area, and there's a girl in there, and one of your crewmates falls in love with that girl, but you only know this crewmate for like 10 minutes because he's on the train with you, and you can talk to him if you want to, and I don't think anyone's gonna fall in love with him. And then he gets fallen in love, and he just finds a girl, and he's just like, I'm in love, she's in love with me too, and then that's it. He comes with you anyways, and you're just like, so wait, you have a love backstory now? Why?
I didn't know Disney got into this one.
Yeah, it's weird. It's super random, and
the romance story.
Yeah, makes no sense to me. But the rest of the story is really neat, and the ending is fucking pitch perfect. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, it just feels claustrophobic and cold. And then
careful about spoilers now.
Yeah,
it's great.
for a game that came out, like, when did Exodus come out? Like
4 years ago, five years ago.
Long enough. You need to like catch up on your video games.
Like, people have backlog catalogs that are like,
says my brother who still needs to play Spyro, Crash Bandicoot.
No, hold on. I'm replaying those games.
He's playing
the master.
He's playing them for the first time, experiencing what the PlayStation was like at its heyday.
Sonic's butthole rides again.
Oh, God.
Which is what they called Crash Bandicoot when they were developing it. That was the...
No.
The development name, they called it Sonic's Butthole.
That's terrible.
Because of the camera placement on Crash. But, no, I'm replaying those games, but I do have an insane amount of games that I haven't played. I still haven't finished Undertale.
At all.
Oh, man.
I got to the part where it says,
you finish the
stand
Discord.
Here, don't move any further, and then I just...
and he was like, okay. 5 minutes into the game proper.
to be fair,
I couldn't move forward.
To be fair, he never turned off the game. The game is still on that screen.
Yeah. I have a laptop dedicated to that game.
The lady never came back.
Your computer needs an update. Yeah. Sorry, I'm still running Undertale.
I don't know. We should point out spoilers, though, just to make sure.
I'm sorry if I spoiled Prey.
I mean, there are people who haven't seen, like, The Sixth Sense until this year, so...
Yeah.
Even though that's the famous spoiler.
There's always going to be people who haven't seen things, because people are always getting born.
Yeah.
Well...
It's a vicious cycle.
I guess we'll apologize if we do spoil anything for you, but I guess... From now on, just be warned if we start talking about a thing. We might say spoiler warning, but we're talking off the cuff, so anything could come out.
And also, I'm dumb and don't think about things like, when do people want to play Prey?
That's fair. I think that's, I mean, we're just talking, so we might end up spoiling things. So we do apologize for spoiling Twisted Metal, Backyard Kids Play,
Final Fantasy VII.
The beginning of it, at least.
Disc one.
There was a train. Now I know there's a train in the game.
Well, if you dislike spoilers, please like, comment, and subscribe.
Or dislike,
and tell us,
and still comment.
And tell us that you don't like spoilers, so from now on we will script these podcasts.
Yes, that is what we want.
Sure. I could write it. Why not?
Why not? Let's just add this on top of your insanity.
Yeah. So, any other game-related things you want to talk about, Onion, or do we want to move on to tabletop?
Mike, what have you been playing?
No,
hold on. Yeah, we do have an amount of things that we were going to play. We might do another podcast where we talk about what we're playing right now.
Let me rephrase that. Mike, what board games have you been playing?
I haven't been playing anything.
No, you bastard. What was the first board game you played?
The first board game I ever played was Candyland.
Candyland.
Now, let me ask you something. Is Candyland a game?
Mike with the big questions.
So, you know, some would argue that BioShock isn't a game because unless you play in, like, the higher difficulties where they start taking away the revive stations and stuff, I mean, like, there's no consequence to dying in BioShock if you're playing with, like, full revive stations. You go, you fight the guy, you get killed, you come out of the machine, the guy's still just as injured as when you died. So...
I don't think that works with boss fights, but it does work with the big daddies.
Yeah, I mean...
So you're setting the standard for what is a game pretty high.
No. No, what I'm saying is... that... I could see a lot of ways where you could argue that there's not, that you just keep, like, the game Life. Have you ever played that one?
Yeah.
That one pretty much plays itself. You just keep going forward. Like, there's not really anything that, like, oh, I need to figure out how to, like, I need to hoard this. Like, I guess there are some bends in the road where you could, like, turn and choose something, but like once you made a choice, like you get like three choices in the game. Once you made that choice, there's nothing else that you have to choose. You're just getting cards and things are happening to you. So I could understand where someone, and I haven't played Candy
Candyland,
Candy Palace, Candy Crush. I haven't played the Candy game,
Candy Saga, the
Candy Saga. Candy Crush is a sequel, right?
No.
So the game of life in is a just, while, so. Just Candyland with a few more decisions. this is an argument I've heard about before, but one of the things about Candyland is that there, out of everything that happens in the game, there really is only one real decision, because the way that the game pans out is that you're either you're randomly like rolling the kind of square that you land on, or you're drawing from a deck that tells you which square you land on. Either way, the only decision that you make is that there's this one single path that winds through the board, except for one part where there's a shortcut, and your decision is whether or not you take the shortcut, which is not much of a decision at all.
Yeah. All right, that's essentially how life works.
Yeah.
You have like a little like spinny thing that all right, I mean, help me out here. I don't quite remember
life.
Yeah, life. So do you roll dice? Does the spinny thing?
It's the spinny thing. It's the spinny.
The spinny thing tells you where you
land. Yeah, the spinner tells you how many moves you have, and then you land on a space, and that space tells you either to pull a card from like the deck of like events or life,
right,
or something.
So that's just a series of random chance. Like randomly, the spin thing will tell you where to go. When you land on there, it'll let you choose which deck you pick from. And that'll give you a random circumstance. It doesn't tell you like to do anything to get any sort of reward. You don't have to like think of anything. It just like happens. Unless we played the game wrong, which is totally possible, because, you know, whoever actually plays board games properly. But yeah, like, the only real choice was just whether or not you go to college, or if you, like, keep playing the road, and then, like, what happens during those roads is also kind of up to chance. Like, yeah, sure, college gives you, like, a bit of, like, somewhat an advantage, it's shorter, but there are like some minor benefits also to like taking the longer road. So like, yeah, you could argue that that's not a real game. That so, it's just moving pieces.
A game requires decisions.
Yeah, I would argue that for it, something to be an actual game, you have to choose. You have to make choices that will impact the ending of the game.
Of course.
And maybe
Fallout isn't.
Fallout has no choice. No.
You walk down the road and you shoot people. That's all that happens. You can choose to shoot that guy or that guy.
I guess in the same vein, you know, Oblivion's not really a game.
I don't know why that one's funnier to me. It's like Oblivion.
You literally can't kill anyone that would make any difference to the ending of this story.
So true.
Yeah, I'm in the same vein. Baseball is not a game because you can't choose to shoot someone.
Yes, that is the only choice that matters.
It's not a game.
All right, look, unironically, others. I would have to agree with you, Mike. Baseball is not a board game.
Unironically.
Unironically.
Now we've settled Candyland is not a game, but is it a board game?
Oh no, why is that different?
It's on a board.
And you do play it?
But it's not a game.
Then it's not a board game. It's just, it's a board.
It's a board.
It's a board. Because, you know, like, then you ask, well, is the Ouija board a board game?
I feel like if we were talking to, like, I don't know, professional game makers, they would sit there and yell at us going, that's not what a game
is. There are smarter minds than us.
Games aren't
may have decided what constitutes an actual board game.
Games aren't just sets of choices. That's just life. Games are things that we put in between that.
Well, that's what I was asking. Is life a board game?
No. God
damn it. That's life. No, not the game of life, but life itself.
Yeah. Maybe we could Google it. What does Google say a board game is?
Who's gonna say something stupid?
Board game is a competitive game that is on a board. It's like, no, you didn't answer the question.
It might be nice if I spell board correctly. There we go. Wrong kind of board. Board games are tabletop games that typically use pieces moved or placed on a pre-marked board and often include elements of table, card, role-playing, and miniature games as well. So this is a very like middle of the road description. Like, it can include lots of things.
Yeah, it's
very broad.
It's a piece of board that has some stuff on it.
I love that
the board is marked, has pieces, and you move them.
And may include game.
I love that technically, because of the definition, 40K is not a board game.
It's not a game. It's a miniatures war game.
Yeah.
War games are weird.
Man. Yeah, it has no board.
It has no board.
Yeah. Therefore. I mean, technically, like, you set up a table to play on, but it's not a board game.
All right, so, your first game was Candyland.
Yes.
Right?
Candyland and...
Well, what got you into board games?
So, I got into games like Candyland and Monopoly because they were games that I just had as a kid that my parents got for me. But I didn't actually get into board games proper until I came across a game called Arkham Horror.
Yes.
See, before that, like, games seemed to be just like we were talking about, where they were just games that you just watch the events unfold. But, you know, like, when I played Monopoly, I didn't really play Monopoly. I played Monopoly Junior, which, in the same way, you just keep rolling the dice and picking up properties along the way until eventually you go bankrupt. But, or at least the way
like
that
real
I,
life.
Yeah. At least the way that I played it. But in Arkham Horror, this game was about, it had a story to it. Stories of H.P. Lovecraft, he has his universe. There are beings that come from beyond, and they are greater than you can understand or imagine. And in this board game, one of these beings has come to the city of Arkham. No relation to Batman. the point of the game is that you and a bunch of other people are playing as investigators in the city of Arkham, gathering clues. Portals to other dimensions are opening up, releasing monsters into the city. And you have to find a way to close all the portals and prevent the Elder One from coming into the city. And that's a hell of a story.
Yeah.
But it was such a different game to me, because like every game was always about which one of us is going to eventually be crowned the winner.
Right.
After just keep rolling dice.
Who gets the end of the straight trail?
Yeah, it's very rare that you find, as like a child, like children's game where like everyone can lose.
Oh yeah, Yeah, in this case, Arkham Horror is a cooperative game. It's not competitive at all. It's one in which every player is meant to be working together in order to accomplish the goal. And if you lose, everyone loses. It was just such a different game, and it got me into looking for other board games similar to it.
Yeah, I love cooperative games. I think they're better. I don't really like being all competitive with people.
Mm. Yeah, and Mike found many, many more board games. So many.
Oh boy, he did.
Oh boy.
But yeah.
So I found board games when I was
did
a kid
you?
Too.
What was the first board game you ever played?
Yes, this is how we segue. So yeah, when I was a kid, my brother forced me, or did I just ask you to? I don't remember.
Who can remember these things?
It's too long ago. Who cares? The point is that this man walked over to me, put down the chessboard in front of me, and was like, "This piece does this. This piece does this. This piece does this." And I went, okay, sure. And then I forgot all of that and started cheating immediately.
I taught chess at your
but that was
Boy Scout camp things.
Yeah.
But that I think that might have been afterwards. I don't know, chess has always been in our family. It's just our dad plays chess, our grandpa taught me chess.
And my brother taught me chess because But yeah, but that is
I think
my
it was
first...
just eventual.
That was my first board game experience, and the first board game experience I had was losing a lot, so much losing. Oh my god, did I lose all the time. Mike, how many times have you lost in Dark Souls?
Not once, because I finished the game.
Damn it, Mike, you're so mean.
Dying and losing are not the same.
Point is, I died.
Are we
die.
Talking Dark Souls the board game, or Dark Souls
the
video game?
I lost Dark Souls the board game.
That's
gave
a
up.
Story for another time.
I don't want to play that board game. It looks like fun. Terrible, terrible. Hey,
we'll try it again.
We have to try it. For the podcast.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I said, I died a lot in chess. I lost a lot. I did not win a lot. And then I learned that that's fine. And then I learned that I actually can beat people, just not Bethro, because Bethro's an asshole.
Not because he's better at chess than he is, because he's an absolute jerk.
Absolutely. And so I started...
I berate and deride, you know?
Yeah. So I played against regular people, and regular people are really easy to play against, but I never learned how to checkmate anybody. So it was just a lot of me killing everything on the board, and then them losing because they have nothing else to do.
Which is strange, because I taught them the three-move checkmate by using it on them over and over again.
That's not teaching me it. That's just being an asshole. I explained this earlier.
You might as well have taught him three-card Monty.
I think I understand. Tries it himself. Never tricks anybody.
I did eventually teach him how to not get checkmated by the three-move checkmate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a little boring to just constantly checkmate.
Oh, yeah.
Dickish. I mean, it's been over years, you know. I'm not going to, spend an entire year just checkmating someone.
I think that's one of the things about any sort of competitive game. I think competitive games are definitely not fun for either party when, one is, vastly more experienced than the other.
Yeah.
Unless you're an absolute jerk. And you just like winning for winning's sake. But I think, for me, I like playing Magic the Gathering, and, it's... inherently antagonistic. Either of you is trying to kill the other. But I do like teaching people how to get better at the game, because it's much more interesting if my opponent can actually fight me.
Right. Yeah. I find it much more interesting to play a tournament than playing with my friends. Mostly because my friends are assholes and they get better than me way faster than I get better than myself. So I taught my friend how to play Magic in high school. A year later, he built a deck that was only blue in artifacts that was so overpowered that it's actually banned in almost everything except for the thing he was using it for somehow. He built, you know, that artifact kill deck that turns everything on the board into an artifact, and then you can delete it.
Okay.
And he had the angel.
Yeah, he had the angels so he couldn't lose, and then he had the other thing that made it where you couldn't win and stuff. Mm-hmm. He had all of that. And he was playing it in the 100 card deck thing. I forget what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in Commander?
In Commander, yeah. He was using it in Commander, and it wasn't illegal. All of the cards were legal for some reason.
Oh, yeah, because it's an eternal format.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Okay. That's terrifying.
Okay, so... Alright, this is going to become a magic podcast.
welcome to the magic podcast.
So with that, like, in the same way that you want to teach people to get better at a game so that you have someone that you can actually, like, play with, but, like, in a game where you have, like, unlimited possibility between each person to what they can build, especially if you're willing to spend money on it. I think in that way you need to
and when you have house rules, so you're no longer working with standard, and you have like several, like many years of cards that have been released.
Well, yeah, you need house rules and you need gentlemen's agreements, like, hey, let's keep the power level at this point, because yes, I could just play Armageddon and you will never play the game.
You will never play again. That's pretty much how I felt playing against it. It was just, and everything is dead. And I'm like, how? How can I not beat you? You're playing as blue and I'm playing as red. I am literally your opposite. I should be burning you away faster than you can set up. And I can't touch you.
Yeah, that kid was really interesting. I have no idea why, but he could beat, like, almost anyone. But, like, for whatever reason, I beat him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was weird.
And, like, it's not that, like, I'm way better at magic than anyone else, because I'm not. I can't beat Mike all that often, and Onion beats me all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our moments where we each beat each other.
It makes me feel better about chess.
Yes, magic is the real gentleman's chess.
The real gentleman's chess. But yeah, I don't know why. I mean, I only faced the kid once, but like, I was able to beat him, and it was just a really weird experience because I saw the deck in action, mm-hmm. and him like just destroying other people, and then just when it came to me, it was like,
What happened in the game?
So, well, I think what it
did he get screwed or?
Yeah, I think what helped was I was using blue too. Uh-huh. So when he was trying to like summon things,
you just
and since I'd seen the deck, I knew what was important, so I was able to cancel what. Yeah. What I knew was like, okay, I don't want you to have that.
And, mm-hmm. it's,
and I like to play blue-black, so anything that I didn't cancel, I like to destroy.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where I'm like, that happens to me a lot in a lot of games. I'll teach somebody how to play the game, and they'll get way better than me for some reason immediately. Like, I've taught my friend how to play Warhammer. Mm-hmm. And I gave him Tyranids. I was like, here, use these are really cool. And he was like, oh my god, these are cool as fuck. And I was like, I'm surprised he liked Tyranids. And then he swarmed my tanks to the point where I couldn't move and just murdered me. And I was like, oh, he's an asshole. Oh, okay.
Don't worry, he can't do that in 9th edition anymore.
Don't know if I'm okay with that. He's going to feel real weird about it.
It's the rules of the game, baby.
Yeah, baby. Look, I'm fine with the podcast becoming anything, but this will not become a Warhammer podcast. We will talk about Warhammer, but this is not going to turn into a Warhammer podcast.
You'll understand one day.
When anyway, you and Mike can have a Warhammer podcast on your own without me.
So, Pedro, what army are you playing?
Necrons. Yeah. Because I like to sleep, and I get real grumpy when you wake me up.
Who wants to die?
My army's called Return the Slab.
It's actually really great.
And if you come into my planet and you take my things, then you will need to return them or you will suffer my curse.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Anyway, we should talk about that a lot more for the next 5 podcasts.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Pedro, what was your first board game?
Well, the thing about that is that we will get to that next time, because we are done.
Really?
Oh. Okay.
Well, thank you for joining us on this podcast. We apologize if it's a little meandery, but I'm sure if you listen to podcasts, you're used to that already.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Unless you
if you heard the first podcast.
Unless you listen to Shadow of Night Vale, then you know that's an entirely different fucking book. But yeah, this is cool. I like this.
Either way, like, comment, and subscribe if that's a thing that's possible in the platform that you're using to listen to this podcast.
Or don't. We don't care.
You can check more stuff out at Atomic Station.
Or don't. They do care, actually. They do that.
Or don't.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Ow.